Hi, welcome to another of our Expert Insights discussions. Today we're joined again by Veit Meyer of Berner & Becker. Continuing our theme of back to basics, we follow up our last discussion around forecasting, and this time we focus on segmentation. We consider what are some errors hoteliers make or challenges they face when considering segmentation. Veit highlights additional areas to consider when building more granular segmentations and ways to achieve this. And finally, we look at the benefits of adopting a more enhanced, granular segmentation strategy. Really hope you enjoy the conversation. Let's get started.
Hi, Veit. How are you? You well?
I'm very well. Thank you, Trevor. Thanks for being back.
Excellent. Yeah, thanks for joining us. Yeah, it's good. Another one of our back to basic videos as we continue coming out of our lockdown and COVID recovery. So the one we're focusing on today is around segmentation. And I know when we were talking about this before, you mentioned a comment that it's kind of an often used phrase, but is it fully understood? Is it fully applied? So let's kick straight off with a very simple question. That from your perspective, what are some of the basic errors hoteliers make or challenges they may face when considering or contemplating market segmentation?
Yeah. To be honest, I think a lot has changed, or a lot of stuff has improved actually in the, application of a proper market segmentation for a hotel. Mm-hmm. I think many more hoteliers, especially over the last couple of years, they have been realizing that they need some sort of, clustering of target groups that they can follow along and where they can strategize around. So I think there's been a lot of improvement actually also in the understanding of what a proper market segmentation actually is. But then obviously what we are seeing is still that, I can just tell something out of our daily lives, right? Like sometimes if we're starting to work with a couple of new clients and you see that they've not been tracking anything in terms of proper market segmentation, which kind of guest types or guest profiles they're actually looking at or looking for, then it's obviously for us starting to wonder, okay, how did they do it in the past, right? Like how did they ever properly strategize around their segments. And so I think there's been kind of a confusion between what market segmentation really is and what, for example, other attributes to, let's say, a guest profile can be, right?
Okay, yeah.
And so, for example, you can cross market segments with distribution channels, but then obviously you're already adding a second layer to that whole topic of market segmentation. Mm-hmm. And I think for a lot of hoteliers, it would actually be fairly easy to say, as a general standpoint, you should rather look at market segments in the first place. But then if you want to go deeper, right, and you want to cross, let's say, data points, you can still look into distribution channels as a second layer. Or as, let's just say, a source of business, for example, mm-hmm. where their business is coming from, and at different levels of granularity, yep. basically, that's, probably open up some sort of other discussions that you can have within your commercial teams around, okay, which kind of business should I go after and how does a certain piece of business actually behave and what can I learn from that? But so market segmentation, I think lots of hoteliers, they probably haven't fully found the proper market segmentation that they should be looking at. And they rather keep it very broad. And I think that's also okay in the very first place to do, right? So at least if you're having a look at, okay, what's your leisure business? What do you define as leisure? I mean, that's also different from hotel to hotel.
Yep.
I'd almost say, what do you define as group business? So as of how many rooms do you consider business as being a group's business, for example? Mm-hmm. Are you looking into corporate business? Or are you just, taking another step back and maybe you just start very bluntly from that global point of view with saying, okay, I only have transient and I have groups business.
Yeah.
sometimes, I mean, it's also perceived as being very time consuming, because if you think about it might still be the case that for many hotels, it can be very time consuming because technology probably on their side doesn't allow to, you know, be tracking for like proper market segments.
Okay.
Yep. Either let that be limitations from the PMS point of view, or let that be also limitations from what their channel manager, for example, can receive from, let's say, different OTAs in terms of rate products coming in and being booked, and then obviously being remapped into a market segment. It's that whole kind of mix. So I think what should be good for hoteliers to start with is, like, you know, just think about, okay, where's your business coming from, first of all? Secondly, which kind of guest profile are you looking at? Mm-hmm. And what are you targeting at? And also, you want to make sure that within your market segmentation, you're reflecting a certain kind of willingness to pay amongst your customer segments, right? Because that's what ultimately enables revenue management, obviously, to do its job.
Yeah, absolutely.
In terms of yielding and restricting and all that comes into play.
And I guess part of that, some of that is about looking at what you already have in terms of information available to you. But I guess there is a part as well, and I'd be interested in your thoughts about how many hoteliers coming out of the COVID, the pandemic, have looked at, taken that time to look at the strategic direction of their hotel and identified what their ideal hotel mix should be. Because if all we're doing is just repeating what we did before, then we'll probably go back to having the same segments as we had before. Have you seen any of that, maybe positives or negatives, where people haven't been quite strategic enough in identifying their mix and just gone back to type? Or have you seen other examples more positively where they have been more innovative around that?
Yeah, I think from what we have seen, we've seen pretty much both sides.
Okay.
So we've seen hotels, obviously, that was saying, you know, there's no need for me to change anything around on that market segmentation that I've been looking at previously. But then there's also hotels that, for example, were probably impacted by, let's say, the loss of pretty much all their corporate business, right?
Yeah.
And ultimately what that did is it first of all changed a little bit the direction in terms of the product mm-hmm. or the value that they deliver to their prospect guests. And secondly, it did also have an impact on the segmentation that they were really looking at, because if, you know, they were strategically deciding, or we together were strategically deciding, okay, corporate business is no longer a focus for that hotel.
Yeah.
There were amendments made on the product side itself, which then also obviously translated into, you know, let's say new marketing efforts that were targeting into an old existing customer segment, mm-hmm. but obviously trying to bring more volume into that segment that they've seen before. And thus replacing, for example, that corporate segment. It is then about, you know, realizing, okay, I'm no longer really interested in, you know, following along what that corporate segment does for me. It's good to have that probably on a side view or whatever. But I should probably be more granular, for example, on that leisure segment. And then I start obviously to look into, you know, the various rate products that I'm having on offer, basically, to attract those kind of travelers and be more granular on that specific part of the market segmentation.
So picking up on that, and a couple of things that you've said in these first sort of 5 minutes or so, that last part about changing of segments, which has been driven either by the pandemic or a realization that they want to make a shift. Also, you used a phrase like guest profile, guest persona. And that last point where you spoke about granularity, and I think what I took from your first piece here is that when people talk about market segmentation, what I derive from that is a lot of hotels work in that broad segmentation of corporate, leisure, as you said, transient, different ways, wholesale, airlines, whatever, big buckets of groups of people. It's now there is opportunities by using, if you have the technology, if that's not a constraint, to be a bit more granular. And we'll talk about the benefits of getting more granular at the end of this conversation. But if we just pick up on, so if you were going in now and working with a hotel client and talking about segmentation and moving them up a level or improving, what would be the areas that you were, where would you, what would be the things that you would be doing and focusing on?
Yeah, let me start with this, because what you just mentioned, like in terms of hoteliers being very broad, in terms of looking at their market segmentation, obviously what it doesn't enable them to do is to be very specific in the sense of knowing the attributes of their travelers, or knowing the wishes of their travelers, or knowing the needs of their travelers that actually fit into, let's say, a larger bucket of a market segment. So this is actually one of the things that would certainly have to change, especially when we're talking around that cool super new term of customer centricity, right? It's new it's new to us in the hospitality industry. Obviously, a couple of other industries they're doing very well on that, but I think it would get really interesting if you know, not only from a granularity standpoint of view, but also from a discussion point of view between sales, revenue management, and marketing, if we would be starting to look more into guest personas and properly assign attributes of those personas that are very tangible, and that you can, first of all, figure out, and basically that you can also very well target at the end of the day.
So what kind of things would come onto that?
Exactly. So you would be looking at a demographical set of attributes, basically. So be that age, be that gender, be that income. So obviously, I mean, what do we all want to have in our hotels? High spenders. Not only on rooms, but also F&B, also on any other revenues, right? So certainly looking into that. Also from a geographical point of view, I mean, we mentioned earlier kind of source of business or origin of business, where that business is actually coming from, but also there we can be much more specific, right, in terms of tracking down and also being very thorough on tracking, you know, which kind of country they're coming from, which kind of region they are coming from, maybe even which kind of city, obviously, they are coming from. I mean, they got to give that information somehow, in some places. And I mean, you already get the point. What it would enable hotels to do is like be much more clear about where they should put in their marketing spend in order to attract a new guest or retain an existing guest.
And different countries, different regions may have different
patterns
of booking and all this. So understanding that, makes sense.
But then the really interesting part comes into play if you're looking at let's call it psychographic attributes. And this is about, you know, what do guests like? What are their shared values? What are their lifestyles? What are their motivations, basically? And, you know, what do they simply look for when they go traveling? Which kind of experiences do they want? And what are they also ready to pay for that? Obviously, that plays in again with the demographical part in terms of income that they have to spend. But then it's also obviously the behavioral part, looking at, you know, customer lifetime value, also looking at what they typically spend, maybe not only in our hotel or in that specific hotel, and maybe not only in that specific outlet of a hotel, but also what did they probably spend somewhere else, right? And this is obviously information that is not easily to get, especially nowadays, but I think moving forward, we'll get there, right? Also, if you think about, let's say, hotel chains or smaller hotel groups, you could be cross-referencing data from that behavioral standpoint of view to see, okay, how much revenue has that client or that guest placed in another hotel of that group?
I've got you. Yeah. And so across your portfolio,
what would it what would that guest deserve basically now, or what would make that guest book with us in the same hotel group but in another location? So what's the reason for the purchase basically as well?
Yeah.
And makes sense. But there's a couple of things.
No, that makes sense in terms of the break. And I can see how then, and we will touch on them, but I can see how getting into that granularity can enable you to develop different types of, as you say, personas within those broader groupings that you can use effectively. Yeah. What other tools? So where can you be pulling this information from? What's some of the technology that maybe most hotels would have where some of this can be pulled from, and maybe what other areas could they be utilizing to gather information?
Obviously, pretty much every hotel that I know nowadays is sending out feedback emails after the stays. Yeah. So those kind of surveys, obviously, I mean, it doesn't have to stay with only that survey that you send out after a guest has gone. But obviously, you could also be looking into pre-arrival emails
why are they coming in,
and just ask a couple of simple questions, right? But then it's also, you know, what can you learn from your website traffic, like in terms of which kind of constellations are actually requested, like which kind of dates are probably highly requested, which kind of you know, how many people are probably traveling? Can you figure out if that's a lot of families? Maybe. I mean, you would know you have a lot of families visiting your hotel. That's clear. But so there's certain touch points, be that website, be that social media, be that email, but then also be that reviews that are left by guests on various platforms that you could obviously read and dissect, right?
Yeah, that makes sense. But then
obviously, next to that, you also have institutions that help you with defining, let's say, guest personas, or that look into specific milieus, let's call it like that, that all touch base on that demographical, geographical, behavioral part. And for example, here in Germany, we have one of the institutes called Sinus Institute. And this is, I think this is so much undervalued nowadays.
Right.
Still now, that I'm 100% sure that if hotels would specifically look into data from an institution like this, you would gain massive insights that you could take along.
I guess all that data, you know, you're drawing data from your PMS, I guess your booking engine, channel manager,
CIS, right? Obviously, your CRM system is pretty much the best go-to source if you have a CRM system, right? I also know that not a lot of hotels have a CRM system still, but that will come.
That makes sense.
That's kind of it.
So we kind of hinted towards some of the things through this discussion of the benefits of doing the segmentation, but for the purpose of this discussion, let's kind of lay out some very clear, obvious advantages of adopting a more granular approach to segmentation. So what's a key starting kickoff point for that one?
I mean, in revenue management, what else could we be talking about other than pricing, right? So it's not only that dynamic pricing, but it's also that continuous pricing, right? Where you say you're also rewarding guests for their, first of all, their loyalty, but secondly, if you're very granular on your segmentation, and if you probably had the chance to look into those personas, you would pretty know exactly like which kind of travelers would deserve a certain kind of reward, or would deserve a certain kind of discount, or would deserve a certain kind of added value, and would also value that in return. Right?
So back to your suggestion of someone that was maybe booking across your portfolio or something, you might have something different. For example,
So the whole pricing part is certainly highly impacted by that. What I think it would also very much enable us to do as hoteliers is, obviously, you're making smarter decisions on where you're actually placing your inventory at a given point in time.
Okay.
So if you think about customer acquisition costs at the end of the day, if you know that, for example, your website traffic on a given date is very high, you get shitloads of requests on the website, and you would also know that people that search for your hotel on your own website for specific dates are usually people that probably have a rather high income. Mm-hmm. They have a certain type of request constellation. So it's probably always between 2 to 3 people requesting, mm-hmm. And also for a higher length of stay. I mean, what does it tell you, right? Yeah. You have chance to play all the cards that you have in terms of direct booking. Mm-hmm. And on the other hand side, obviously, you have the chance to reduce customer acquisition costs,
yeah.
From third-party channels.
Makes
because
sense.
You can start yielding on channels. Same goes with targeted marketing campaigns, right? If you know exactly where those guests are coming from, which kind of regions probably see a higher density of bringing you guests into your hotel, you're suddenly starting to place your marketing funds much smaller.
Yeah, that makes sense. And
also very targeted. And yeah, those kind of things.
And what about in terms of looking at it from people have been quite adaptive during... Yeah. the COVID in looking at ways that they can pull in and I hate the phrase ancillary revenue because it's all revenue, mm-hmm. but looking more broadly in terms of revenue streams outside of just rooms, also yeah. looking at structuring their products differently. Does having a more granular segmentation, to me, it would seem to lend itself to maybe highlighting if requests are coming in, there may be a different product offering, or there may be, you can see what's the most profitable solution, maybe upselling options. What are your thoughts around that?
No, I certainly think so. Like, again, this goes back a little bit to those guest personas. Like, if you know what guests probably in a small group really value, mm-hmm. and what their lifestyle is. Let's say, for example, you're looking at a group of people that are foodies. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
So they would probably super highly value your superb F&B offering that you have in the hotel, and they would be ready to spend on it, right?
Yep.
If the service offering is good enough. So maybe it also opens up the door to, you know, invest more in your, let's say, F&B offerings across mm-hmm. the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know that in turn, because you're playing it smart, you can attract those guests basically that are ready to pay for cool offerings in that area. And at the same time, you will figure out that this is probably a more profitable business.
Yeah, and maybe.
Could be. Yeah,
and you may put a package together where if you know the profitability in your F&B is maybe greater than the profitability in your rooms, for instance, you could do something on the room rate and put a targeted package together to encourage them to then eat in your F&B, and then that would tie in with that defined marketing campaign.
And this is playing along with the casino principle, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So, but identifying what they're there for, back to, you know, what do they want? Why are they traveling? Some of those psychographic and behavioral tendencies, aren't they?
Yeah.
And I guess ultimately, if back to your point about being more customer centric or guest centric, I mean, the relationships you are likely to build, you could argue would become stronger.
Yeah.
I guess if you've targeted them well and then they book and you deliver, then the possibility of getting more positive reviews could be enhanced. And then I guess ultimately as well, leading to a sense of loyalty, whether that lends itself to future bookings is another thing, but at least a loyalty to your property, maybe your brand, so that there's a word of mouth benefit to it as well.
Yeah. Loyalty is certainly one thing that comes as a benefit by knowing your guests even better. But secondly, also, like, as you said, if you get constantly positive reviews at the end of the day, because you've been building those kind of strong relationships and you've been, you know, making your guests feel comfortable, and also they did not have the feeling that they were ripped off, even though they probably left more money in the hotel than mm-hmm. guests previously left, just because you knew them better. But that's also obviously gives you leverage in terms of acquiring new guests.
Yes. No, that makes sense.
That's what positive reviews.
And again, all comes back to hopefully possibly reducing your customer acquisition costs, and back to your point about looking at your channel distribution decisions. So it, yeah. I mean, the reality is this all molds in together, doesn't it? But there's the value of getting a bit more granular. No, that's perfect. Look, these are short, sharp, back to basic conversations. So we've pretty much covered off those key points. Any final thoughts from your side?
I think it's worth checking in on your segmentation, not only once and then let it go, but probably do that a couple of times. Not necessarily during the year, but you know, every single year, just look at it, see what you can learn.
That makes sense. And I guess ultimately, what we often say is revenue management is the right product to the right person at the right time. Mm-hmm. If you don't know who the right person is and you don't know what the right product is, you don't know how to reach them and when's the right time to do it, then you're fundamentally falling down on one of the basic principles, I guess.
Absolutely.
No, certainly see some value in segmentation. Cool. Look, brilliant. Really appreciate your time. Thanks a lot for joining us. Always insightful ideas and tips. So thanks so much.
Thanks, Trevor.
Thanks, everyone.
Ciao.
Well, I hope that conversation was of interest, and thanks again to Vite for joining us. If you have any thoughts or views on this discussion, please feel free to reach out. You can reach us via our social channels, or you can email us via insights@revenue-hub.com. And if you like what we're producing, please do subscribe through the podcast channel you're listening to. And if you want to see the interview, you can find it on the Revenue Hub YouTube channel, and the link is in the podcast notes. Anyway, until next time, thanks for listening.